Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Really?
I'm actually driving right now for like 2 seconds.
Jeremy! Where are you going?
I have to go pick up this Chinese food.
Okay.
Stay in the parking lot.
Hey, roll
oh
with it.
Oh my God. You're so funny.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Joblogs. Welcome back.
Welcome you guys to another edition of your favorite group chat, girlfriends.
Yes, your career confidant.
As always, we're talking about navigating your career, the ups, the downs, everything in between.
Yes. And for those of you who are new to the show, listening for the first time, she's a digital storyteller, writer, content strategist, all around dope chick. Check her out at cleaveoutloud.com.
And Joy is an experiential marketer, creative, and global citizen. Yes. And you can check her out at joymarieparker.com.
Yes, and we are besties in New York City navigating this career thing one day at a time right alongside you guys. So join us at joblogs.com, at joblogs all around the web. We're here pretty much every Monday-ish for the
kind
most
of.
Part. But before we jump into today's episode, we want to tell you guys about our listener survey. So we really want to hear from you. Help us stay free and create more episodes more consistently, more content that you guys are interested in that you'd like to hear. Fill out our easy 3-minute survey, enter your email address at the end, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 gift card. And you can find the survey at joblogs.com/survey.
Yeah, we really appreciate your input. And coming up on today's episode, we're talking about change and kind of navigating the small changes, the big changes. And we're joined by my beloved Jeremy D. Williams.
Yes.
He's a UX designer who's worked with some really cool companies and is kind of a pro at landing in these spaces.
Yeah, I'm excited for that conversation. So first, before we get into that, we always like to start the episodes with a clock in. That's where we check in on our personal and professional development, what's going on, how mm-hmm. things are in our lives. Courtney, what's up with you? You started school, right?
I did. I started school, so I'm just kind of like calibrating like how to balance all this again, because you kind of forget over the summer. But it's all good.
Year
and
two for you?
Yes, second year. And yeah, so far so good.
Okay.
I can't complain. I'm going to talk a little bit more about, I've revisited an old strategy for how to kind of try out new things and new approaches to things. So we'll talk about that a little bit later.
All right,
but what about you?
Good. I'm good. Kind of coming out of a summer slump. I don't know if it was just like taking the summer easy and relaxing. But I kind of took it easy with everything. And so going through a lot of changes at work as well.
Yeah.
And so this episode will be good for me as well. But pretty much just having like a laser focus on building an empire outside of work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, through this and a few other projects that I'm working on. But that really motivates me to keep going in work. Mm. We've talked about this in the past. Like, I feel like my outside projects are really important for me to feel like I have like a more holistic, fulfilled life.
Sure.
And so it's, you know, dealing with that balance. I've also been reading this book, Smarter, Better, Faster, mm-hmm. by Charles Duhigg. It's The Secrets of Being Productive in Life and Business. And it talks a lot about control as a form of motivation. So if you think about like when you're stuck in traffic on the highway and you want to rush to get off at an exit, mm-hmm. that's really about like having some form of control over the situation.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with me because I realized that when a lot of changes and things are happening around me, the things that motivate me are the small areas where I can have like a little bit of control. So
cool.
Yeah, just focusing on doing that. But all in all, I'm excited for the fall.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so ready for the fall. A Okay, guys. So now it's time for Rants, Raves, and Reviews. 3 R's.
Yes.
And this is the segment where we just kind of share a rant, rave, or review about a product, a service, a tool, experiences, anything that's positively or negatively impacting our work lives that we think you should know about.
Yeah.
So, Joy, what are you doing today?
I am raving / reviewing my Fitness Pal, which is an app available for download, at least on iOS. I don't know where else it is. And it helps you to track your meals, calories, water intake, and like weight goals, as well as measurements and other things. And like I just talked about control sort of as a form of motivation, I have been taking more control over my health and wellness this year. So, you know, I started dabbling with the gym here and there, but really auditing kind of what I eat. And it's so fascinating because I thought for the longest time that I drank a ton of water and I thought I was pretty good in that department. And when I started actually using the app to log my intake, I was shocked that like some days I would go and it would be like one glass of water or sometimes like zero water.
Oh, no.
And that's, that's no bueno for the body.
Right.
So, highly recommend the app. It also does kind of like a deep dive into your nutritional breakdown for the day. So as you're going in and putting in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it'll like break down all the nutrition for the food. So it'll show you how much sugar you're having, how many carbs you had. So even if you think you're being relatively healthy, a lot of times if you look at the nutritional breakdown, some of your intake might be like disproportionate. Like you may be having way too much sugar or something. So it's just really great. And I like that you can add friends and kind of motivate each other and kind of build
a
community.
Is there like a goal setting component to it or is it more just tracking?
Okay. Yeah, you can do some goal setting. I'm currently, my goals are around like weight. So I have like calorie goals that I meet every day. And then it'll pace, it'll kind of give you your calorie breakdown based on what your goals are in a certain period of time.
Oh, nice.
So you're looking to lose a pound a week, 2 pounds a week, whatever the case is.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Check it out. I know there are a ton of apps that do this kind of thing, but just the practice of logging and tracking has been really great for me.
Cool.
What about you? What are you doing?
I'm raving. It's kind of a review. It's kind of a rave.
Okay.
I feel good about I have positive feelings about it.
Okay.
But it's this concept. I was first introduced to it in one of my classes last year, my management class. And it's this concept of firing bullets than cannonballs. And it's from this book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins. And he looks at all these companies that manage to really outperform their competition and like how they go about doing that. And it's surprising because most great companies, like, it's not that they're so much like risk takers and innovative. It's just that they're really pragmatic about the changes they make and the innovation that they do.
Okay.
So I like this one because you can really apply it to any aspect of your life. And a bullet is like a low cost, low risk, low distraction test or experiment.
Okay.
And the flip side would be the cannonball, would be like the all-in approach, like all your resources going hard in it. So you fire the bullets because you don't know ahead of time whether this bullet's going to be successful. But you fire the bullet, see how it works, calibrate a little bit, shoot again. And then when you think, okay, this is cute, then you do your cannonball.
Okay.
So like an example would be our fave, Steve Jobs, when Apple wanted to do retail in like 2000. Like that was a big thing for them because it had never been retail before.
Yeah.
So the guy he hired, Mickey Drexler, he was the CEO of Gap. And what they did was they built a prototype of the store in a warehouse.
Interesting.
And they kept like tweaking the design until they got it just right in this warehouse.
In the warehouse.
In this warehouse. They didn't roll it out at all. Like, they just worked on it and built it until they're like, okay, this is it.
Okay.
That was a bullet. Then they opened just two stores nationwide. That's another bullet. And they're like, okay, this is right. And then now there's like an Apple store everywhere.
I got you.
So that's like the idea.
Yeah, like starting small.
Start small. Like, if you have a big idea, just think, like, shrink it down.
Yeah.
Think about like, okay, what can I try? And I like that because it's like you like set yourself up for failure when you just have like these
the
big ideas and you're like, oh, I'm gonna do this. And it's like, girl, you don't have time, you don't know if it's gonna work.
Right. Money,
so just like test it out.
I love
first.
That. And then if the cannons fail, you're kind of out.
Yeah, the cannon is like chaos.
Yeah. Like, you have no more resources to try
bullets.
So I really
like
that approach.
Yes.
Yes.
So the reason I wanted to have Jeremy come on for this conversation is because Jeremy is a bit of a rolling stone in a good way, though. Like, Jeremy will take new opportunities, go to new places, and just like start from scratch.
Brave the wild.
And like, it's nothing. Okay. And I have anxieties and I have issues to work through. So I thought, as we're talking about change, this is a good person to have.
Yes, perfect.
All right, so Jeremy is my best friend. But more importantly, well, not more importantly, but also in addition to that, he's a fabulous UX designer. He works at FCB Chicago right now. But like I said, he's been everywhere. He's worked with Tumblr and PSFK and ClapFun and all of these cool things. So, Jeremy, how are you like this? Like, what are your thoughts? Like, how do you view change? Yeah. I feel like you don't view it like the average person.
You know, as a child, I never moved around. I stayed in the same house in the same neighborhood my whole life. Mm-hmm. So once I left for college, I kind of never looked back. And I've always been kind of spontaneous and go with the flow. So that's always kind of helped me. And I've been kind of fearless, especially in my early 20s. Especially in this day and age and time with technology being everywhere, I kind of just wanted to get experience in every kind of different facet.
Yeah. And has that ever like not worked out for you? Do you ever?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I was about to say, I know.
Tell us a time or two, Jeremy.
I mean, you know, like traveling around different markets, you think that it will all be the same, but it's definitely different. How can I say it? People and backgrounds and their own experiences that come into play, and they're not the most welcoming environments. So I always have to have that kind of peace of mind in my work environment. So if it's not really a good fit, I'm usually like, it's kind of like second nature for me to just like see what else is out there.
Yeah. Well, when you say different markets, you mean like when you've gotten job opportunities in different cities, right? And like move.
Yeah, definitely. So I started out, I'm from Chicago, born and raised, and I went to school in DC. But just to like, before I even got to Howard, I went to school at Tuskegee, Alabama for a little bit. And that was kind of like
Alabama, right?
Exactly. So I came from like a very inner city school, so if we didn't have like Howard and all these other big fancy schools coming in. I actually found out about Tuskegee because of an HBCU college fair that I went to randomly that my mom dragged me to downtown, and I kind of applied on the spot and got in. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll go here. I didn't really think about like the future in that way of like what do career wise. I knew I was in a medical program and high school, and that kind of like opened my eyes to like what I could become. But once I got to Tuskegee and started enrolling in classes, and I was a biology major, I was doing pretty well in school. I got like 4.0 my first semester, and I was like, okay, cool. I really wasn't fascinated by biology.
Yeah.
I didn't want to become a doctor. That was like my family and my parents' dream. So that was kind of like my first awakening of like, I didn't want to live this life for someone else.
Yeah.
So I've always been kind of like open to new opportunities. So when I started looking at other schools, actually one of my best friends who I grew up with, Brandon, kind of like foreshadowed Howard upon me a little bit, like telling me about the school and the programs that he was in the ad. He was an ad major there in the School of Communication. So I really wanted to become a designer, but I always kind of kept that like a secret.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really see myself as like an artist, like a painter.
Yeah.
Or like I wasn't the best illustrator. But I always was on the computers, like in Photoshop and in Illustrator and in InDesign, designing different things. Like my first start was like designing signatures on forums back in high school.
Yeah.
Before the social media craze.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say that like Tuskegee kind of like opened my eyes to say that this wasn't right and I wanted to see what else was out there. And by me opening that door, it kind of opened other doors down the line that kind of allowed me to be more fearless because I took that one chance and I actually got into Howard and I actually did well in school and it just opened more doors for me.
I think that's like a really important key distinction, though, because I think it's pretty typical for our generation to kind of hop around and move to kind of the next best thing. But I like that you call it that you actually did well. Like you're not blindly hopping into new sort of scenarios or change without that back end research and without like everything in place to position you for success, right?
Definitely.
And I feel like especially for creatives, that's like a big thing.
Oh yeah.
And I think so too. too, like, because even like when you talk about like a change you make, like it's always in a pot, it's like it's a seizing an opportunity. And I think how you frame something matters a lot.
So yeah,
if you're really resistant to like some change is going to be this scary thing that I'm not sure how to handle.
Yeah,
it's going to be harder than just saying like, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to
to grow and to like see something new.
I always try to have like a 5-year plan with any kind of opportunity I see in terms of like what it will help me connect the dots to my future.
So you do?
I started that out when I first came to Howard, funny story, and I got into the School of Communications. I plotted out every semester until I graduated.
Really?
I knew what classes I was going to take. I knew when, like, I was like, I even knew that they had kind of shortchanged our classes where we had to stay an extra semester. So I persuaded the dean to offer summer school so I could graduate on time.
Wow.
Like,
so this
is how invested I was into like my future at that certain point. Like I was always looking towards like what was my next step.
This is fascinating to me, though, because it feels counterintuitive when you say that, like planning out, you know, your 5-year plan and thinking about your future in every semester, but then also being amenable to like new opportunities.
Right.
Because
I'm going to tell you from the outside looking in, this thing looks very spur of the moment. So you're telling me master plan.
All right. I will say this. And this is a quote that I saw actually on social media recently. You always have your own plan, but there's always a bigger plan in motion.
You
can have your own plan, you kind of have to go with the flow too.
Yeah.
So some opportunities may not have worked out, so I kind of had to have that plan B, okay, of what's my pivot from here, you know?
Yes.
You always have to think about, like, what's that next opportunity.
That's real.
In a good way or a bad way.
Yeah, you know, I actually read that the book I'm reading that I talked about earlier, Smarter, Better, Faster by Charles Duhigg, talks about productivity. It says that when you view your future as a series of multiple paths versus like one linear path to success, those are people that tend to be more content. So, Jeremy, all of this change, how do you actually, you know, when you mix things up and decide to take an opportunity at a different agency across the country, or go for a different type of job function or role, how do you cope once you're actually there?
I thought you were going to say by the grace of God.
I have really good friends that have been a support system and kind of a sounding board in those kind of situations, especially when I moved from New York to San Francisco and I was like over the moon about moving there and I finally got there and experienced the culture and what it really was. I was kind of, not to say disappointed, but I definitely was let down. I definitely vented to Courtney and other friends about, okay, what do I do now after I thought that this was going to work out, but it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And then I also had a series of unfortunate circumstances with my family, so it kind of pulled me back east anyway. But, you know, coping is definitely something that comes into play when you take these new opportunities, because you never know what's going to happen. But you definitely have to keep a firm and patient mind and also just have confidence in yourself.
Yeah, because that's real. Like, I think it's important to remember, too, that, like, when you make changes, like, you can always go back. Like,
yeah.
You don't, like,
it's not permanent.
Right. Nothing is permanent. So, like, try it out. And if it doesn't work, pivot that thing.
I came right on back to New York.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, too, is, like, it's not a failure to go somewhere and test something and be like, you know what, that wasn't for me. Like, you actually learn from that experience, and now you might not have San Francisco on a platter when you think about your future and opportunities. But if you had never gone, it might have just been this thing that was looming that you just missed out on.
Definitely, and you keep those doors open because you don't burn bridges in those other environments either.
Yeah, for real.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, I know we've been talking about like big things like relocation, but I think like there's changes that, you know, that aren't like life altering, but there's still like anxiety around them. So at work, like we've had some shakeouts with just people on staff. And it's so interesting because like when someone new comes on or someone leaving, is so like, who is this person? Like, do they know? Like,
oh geez,
right? Versus. And when somebody leaves, you're like, they're leaving with all that knowledge. Yeah, like, my job is about to be so much harder without this person. So, like, I want to get you both of you guys tips on like how do you kind of cope with like just change and like the little things like in relationships and your team at work, like.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, definitely on my side, I am at a large corporation that basically has layoffs every year. So like kind of coming into the situation, viewing that as a constant has helped a lot where I'm never really shocked by it, but I'm not going to lie. Like definitely this year I feel it. And it's kind of a morale booster, to be honest, because you got your crew and your friends and your people that you've built such great relationships with that shift and move and kind of get moved around. And so that's definitely tough. I don't know that I have the manual to coping, but for me, I think having things outside of work to motivate me has helped a lot. And then also just like being very vocal about my feelings with my leader, my boss, and just communicating that like, hey, like I appreciate that my teams recognize that the change is happening and speak proactively about it, where it's like, hey, we know you guys are going through a lot. We know we don't have this figured out. We know it's a tough time. We're here to talk if you need to.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna change nothing. At least you could speak about it. I don't know, Jeremy, what's your experience, bud?
You know, I definitely would agree in terms of like it being motivation in your own career when things do change up, because it goes back to being flexible and also having confidence in yourself that you can still, you know, weather the front.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen at any moment. And I mean, that's just what life is.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to be strong and just keep a positive outlook. You don't want to let things or layoffs or different things like that get to you and affect your attitude and all morale in the office either.
Yeah.
I work in agency environments and there are layoffs from time to time as well. But you also have to just, you know, keep it moving.
Yeah, and I mean, like recognizing that those are the things you can't control that are external.
Yeah,
and that you can still handle them. When my assistant left at work, I was really nervous about her leaving. But once she was gone, no shade. But it's like, I can handle it.
Yes.
You know, it's like whatever.
You always get through it. Yeah. That's real. That perspective helps.
Yeah. You know, and I was looking, because, you know, I have to, you know, look into my little research. And I was looking at Psychology Today, has this article about handling transitions in life. And it's interesting, like, we touched on a lot of the things that they talked about how to better handle those things.
Okay.
We talked about being optimistic.
Yeah.
Like, you have to see it as an opportunity and not negative. We talked about getting support from your network. But they also mentioned, this was like, I had to like take a moment when I read it, but it said, don't spend your time staring at a closed door.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Which means like if change happens, like it happens.
It's done.
So it's like, why are you just looking
moping
at
it?
Yes.
Isn't that real?
Okay, that's a word.
That is so real.
That's, you know, a word.
Like, that really just hit me.
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay.
But also, like, I wonder, like, never mind.
No! What do we wonder?
But, like, when you're looking at an open door and you're scared to close it. You know, when you're, like, on the fence about a particular change you want to make, and you're looking at it from, like, both sides of the door and you're trying to figure out which way to go, if you should leave it open or close it.
You know, I feel that. So it's almost like, do you want to decide to like close the door on something? That can go two ways. It can be like you can see a change and you're like, this isn't a good change and you should be taking
it.
But it can also be like being comfortable staying where you are and saying,
afraid
to walk away
but
from
you
it.
Know what? I'm a firm believer that there aren't expiration dates on opportunities. I mean, there might like literally be like on a job offer or something, but you know, if that job isn't right for you at this time, that's not to say that 2-3 years down the line, 10 years down the line, your paths might not cross and you can pursue that again. And I feel like that perspective helps me a lot too in making decisions around what opportunities I will or won't take, is like timing. Like maybe it's not for now, but it can be for later.
Yeah.
I will say, as I've gotten older, I have been more, I've been less fearless. Let's just say that.
You know, less fearless?
Been. Maybe is it more pragmatic? Is it more like practical?
I mean, yes, but also I don't want to get too comfortable, you know? Like, I don't want to lose that fire in me that, like, brought me to this point. By being so stagnant. I think that's what scares me as I get older, because, you know, we have, our generation's known to hop around, yes, but now as we're getting older, we're having more responsibilities that keep us where we are.
You
know? So what scares me in terms of, like, not having opportunities anymore, because you kind of aged out of change.
Well, you know, that makes me think of this other point that it says, and it says, don't take too long to get started. As in, like, instead of waiting for the inspiration or waiting for something to, like, fuel you, it's like, just get started. That's the way to handle change, just is just to go into action.
Oh, well, Jeremy, thank you for joining us and inspiring us a little bit to take some risks. I think change can sometimes be really positive for us. Sometimes we perceive it as being negative or different. But I
think you have to really accept all the feelings that come with it. Like, it's okay to be anxious about something. It's okay to be scared for something, but
that's real.
Power through it.
Yeah. Definitely. Awesome. That last statement too, just do it.
Yeah. What are you just doing now? Is there anything our listeners should be on the lookout for, or to follow you around the webs, the interwebs? How can they find you?
Oh, I am relaunching my site pretty soon, so stay on the lookout for that at jeremydwill.com.
jeremydwill.com. Love it.
And nice. And you've returned to Twitter. I'm so happy.
Yes.
Jeremy D. Will on Twitter, so follow him there too.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Holler.
Now it's time for Ask Joblogs, which is a segment of the show where we address your career and life questions. Submit your questions to us anytime at joblogs.com/askjoblogs. And today we have an update.
Cool.
Update from B in episode 11. If you recall, she was asking how to stay encouraged during a job search, switching from higher education to tech.
Oh, nice.
So B writes to say, I just wanted to thank you all for creating this podcast and creating a space for me to develop as a professional and still stay true to my sophisticated ratchet self. I just wanted to share that I received and accepted a job offer in a new realm, higher education into tech, and I could not have done this without you two. I literally listened to your interview tip session right before going into the interview and decided to rock my natural hair and be true to myself.
That is right.
Yes, you better work. I will be moving from the Bay Area to New York City and hope to attend all the great events y'all put on in New York. Your biggest fan and distant BFF B.
Thank you, B.
And congratulations.
That's awesome.
Black girl magic. We love it. All right. Do we have anything else today?
This, oh, no name. Whatever.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. It says, Dear Joy Marie and Courtney, first I would like to introduce myself. My name is Gabriel, and I'm an 18-year-old college student from Brazil.
Ooh, Brazil.
This summer, during a volunteer trip to Costa Rica, I learned about podcasts. They're not very common here in Brazil. So I used to have insomnia, and one day a friend of mine suggested to me to start listening to podcasts at night, which is actually a good idea. When I started listening to podcasts, especially job blogs, going to bed became easier and fun. I hope, like, us screaming, that doesn't sound like cackling in your ear.
Oh,
my bad. I'm an economics major, freshman student in Sao Paulo, and the academic year here starts in January, and I will finish my first year of school in December. During my summer break, December to February, I like to get an internship abroad. However, I've never worked before, and I'm lost in terms of when should I start looking for internships, what's the best approach to get one, should I look for opportunities online? What do you guys suggest?
This is a good one. And how dope that we have listeners in Brazil.
Yeah, hey.
Okay, so you said here that you've never had an internship or work experience before, but you also mentioned that you volunteered in Costa Rica. So I would actually argue that that's probably something you can list on your resume, that experience.
For sure.
And then I did a bit of research on this. I'm not too familiar with landing internships abroad, I'll admit. But I know that you're likely going to have to research the whole visa sponsorship process.
Oh, yeah. I encountered that, or I went through the interview process and then found out they didn't have a visa.
After the fact. Yeah. So I would definitely be upfront about it and start researching that process. I know it can be very long. I know you can get a lot of rejection and experience that, a lot of paperwork. But, you know, with some due diligence, I have full faith that you can do it. And then also think about, you know, as you go through that process, think about the unique value propositions you'll be bringing to any internship. You have global experience. You have this unique perspective. You've worked in Costa Rica, it seems. Do you speak multiple languages? What insights can you bring from Sao Paulo, the econ program there, to the U.S. or whatever you're targeting? Those are all things you definitely should be thinking about positioning and framing on your resume as you apply.
For sure. And look for companies, once you know your differentiating skills, look for organizations that will really take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So are there companies that are building a presence in Brazil?
Right.
So think about like where the cross connection is.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you said you're a freshman, so you're getting a very early head start. And I would say also that, you know, don't be discouraged if you can't land something abroad for this winter, this upcoming winter or summer holiday in your case, then, you know, definitely get an internship in Brazil and keep adding that experience to your resume.
For
it can
sure.
only kind of help strengthen your application. In terms of actual resources, check out gooverseas.com. They have a complete guide to internships in the United States for international students with a ton of great tips. So even if you're not looking in the U.S., I think there are a lot of tips that could apply to your search. But good luck. Keep us posted.
Yeah, good luck. All right, now it's time for hashtag adulting, where we talk about just ways we're getting it together.
Because
you know what? Childhood is behind us, and you need to be a fully functioning adult. So,
yes,
it's the little things.
Yeah, so my tip, I guess,
is
pretty simple today. It's check your junk mail folder, guys.
Oh,
you know, that spam box, junk folder. I've been hearing lately a lot of stories of folks missing some incredible job opportunities or follow-ups and seeing them a couple months later in the junk folder.
Oh, that's crazy.
And actually, I've done that a ton, too. A lot of you guys' listener letters get put into junk, unfortunately. So check your folder.
Real.
I think
God.
The overarching theme here is that you're responsible for the information that you miss. And so you can't take a passive approach with stuff like that. Like, you know, be proactive, check it.
Maybe like do it like on, make it like Fridays. On Fridays, you know, you go through the junk.
Yes,
folder.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Oh, I have been mortified by some of the emails I've seen in junk. Like, full-on life-changing, game-changing opportunities in my junk mail folder. The nerve.
Ugh. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Job Logs.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening. Listen, if you love the show, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. That helps us out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to read a couple that you guys left.
Cool.
So KitKit312544, I hope that's not like a social or anything, says, I thoroughly enjoy listening to these ladies. They are so informative and have natural conversation with each other. I would love to hear more episodes on job search processes, maybe their first job, how to handle toxic work environments. Keep up the good work.
Oh, those are all great topics.
Yes, and because you let us know, we will definitely try to incorporate some of those themes in upcoming episodes. So thank you.
For sure. And, you know, JobLogs doesn't have to end here.
No.
Stay with us. Visit joblogs.com. There's some great resources and articles for you guys to check out.
Yes. Follow us around the web at JobLogs.
Yes.
Courtney, what are you?
My handle's Clee.loud on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, and I'm Hey Miss Parker on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever I feel like being that week.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.